Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to Imps WWE Adventures Podcast on the Social Suplex Podcast Network. Help the network out by leaving us a 5-star review. Give a donation directly through Red Circle. And become one of the amazing community by joining the Social Suplex Discord. Link is in the description. Listen to the other top-notch shows here on the Social Suplex Podcast Network. One Nation Radio. Keeping It Strong Style. All Things Elite. Wrestling Art with Chris Sings, Trish and Sarah, Tunnel Talk, and the AEW Match Guide. My name is Matt Mayer, aka Imp, and this is your quick look back at the WWE week that was. 30 minutes of a guy on the day after the night out, so my voice is a little bit hoarse. Hopefully I'm alright. Hopefully it comes across okay. This is the final show of the year. It's going to be way too busy over Christmas, even like with this now. Like, the only day free enough was not going to be a good voice day. So you get what you get during this Christmas period. I haven't got any like specials planned for next week, so I should just see you in the new year, but Jesus Christ, that first week in the new year, my body is going to hate me. So this week I'm going to be talking about the Saturday night's main event and just a few little things from Monday Night Raw, with the whole like bigger edit on the Saturday night main event. And it's the last show of the year, so you know, let's put some effort into the edit, future me. But also, as soon as we start next year, we've got AEW starting on HBO Max on the 1st of January, Tokyo Dome shows on the 4th and the 5th, then Netflix on the 6th. At the end of that week, my body is going to hate me. I'm going to be dead. It's going to be awful. The week after Christmas as well. It's like, I drink a lot of alcohol over that week period from Christmas to New Year's. For me, it's like a Christmas week type of thing, and you end it on New Year's Day, obviously with some of the worst drinking and sleeping. You build up for it. You can't drink too much on Christmas Day because you're too full of food. I mean, I've got friends who would get drunk on Christmas Eve, and I'm like, but then you're hungover Christmas Day. I do way too much stuff on Christmas Day for that to be a viable reality. Just no. It's absolutely no. But anyway, this week, the final show of 2024, we start off by jumping to the past for WWE special live on NBC from Long Island, New York. Cody Rhodes versus Kevin Owens was the main event, and we were live for Saturday night main event.
Now is Rhodes going to use the chair? Is Rhodes going to cheat and use the chair?
Second generation Crossroads out of the chair!
The big rematch from Bash in Berlin we've been building to, with plenty of effort and steam put behind Kevin Owens. That's very close to being a good pun. The cart behind Owens as the big baddie for the Big Teddy special. The man who's trusted to showcase Cody to the Saturday night audience. Trusted even more to get the big injury angle too. Out to the ring, Cody wore the Winged Eagle WWF Championship just for tonight, which I thought was like a really nice touch for what happened afterwards. After the show, Kevin Owens attacks Cody Rhodes and they were saying that he's now going to be carrying that Winged Eagle Championship. And the idea that Kevin Owens is going to be carrying around the title, which specifically reminds you of Saturday Night Main Event, because it was a title only for that show, and now he's taking that specific title, whilst Cody will still have the normal World Championship, or sorry, Universal, Undisputed Universal, whatever shitty title got at the moment. Also, Jesse Ventura was on commentary and was genuinely excellent. Thank God, how old is he now and he's still this good at it? Like, so good at making the story of the match like the thing at the forefront rather than the character drama. Using the latter to fuel the former. I was like, oh, he still gets it. He still can do it. Like, take notes, current guys, or whoever's scripting the current guys. Jesse has still got it. That was generally like the biggest surprise of the night. I was like, oh, he's still excellent at this. That's good to see. Before the match, KO with little taunts to Vandy, doing the man's announce desk back body drop, setting up later for Rhodes' RKO onto said desk. The story was of Cody firing with that champion's fire, but he was wearing the ankle wound of trying to be the goody hero back on Smackers. Owens taking advantage to try and extinguish that fire, but he kept getting in his own way. The man finished screwed again with the ref down and Rhodes stunned out for the count that wasn't going to come. And the second ref came down, KO introduced a chair and paid the price, Cody Cutter set up the crossroads, Jesse perfectly calling, "Is he going to cheat and use the chair?" Yes, he was. Cheating Cody. But with the second ref down, he had to wait for the first ref to reawaken and deliver the slow count. I feel like it was a entertaining enough main event match. It's one of those ones where you can envision, for what we currently know the WWE crowds are enjoying in terms of how their stories are being told, they really, really would go for this match for what was involved in it. Really solid 3 stars. Sometimes 3 stars can be used as like a negative. It's like, no, it means good from using my ratings that they give out on the GM mode. But no, 2 stars is average. 3 stars is good. That's what I thought this match was. With a white hot after show angle, what was actually on the show was good. But the angle afterwards, I feel like he's really good. I really like what they did with that angle. Just wasn't expecting it. I stopped watching the show and I went about my day. To be fair, I was trying to fit it around the football. So as soon as it finished, I was like, okay, good. Right, I can go get ready. I couldn't find as it is. I didn't stick around to go to social media afterwards. No, I went to try and get somewhere in time to watch the Nottingham Forest football game. I didn't have time for that. So that was a really nice surprise where I found out much later the whole angle that had played out. I was like, oh, I've been thinking about the idea of how do you end Cody Rhodes' reign without feeling like the crowd feeling like they've been shortchanged. I feel like an angle like this is a great way just to get you ready for a change to happen. Because that's what they did with Roman. The struggle with Roman was there wasn't a contender to go for him. So they used Cody's first rumble to really make you believe that there was somebody who could take down Roman so that the next year you're fully behind him and you know he can do it. Because that was one of the critiques for WWE was the Roman had this big massive reign, but who was going to defeat him? They had this big boss and who on earth was going to defeat him? So they put the time and effort into building Cody and time and effort into showing the cracks in the bloodline, making Roman just feel a little bit weaker. Yeah, you put the time and effort into stuff, then stuff crumbling down makes a lot more sense rather than going for a big shock thing. And I think I prefer that in your main title program. But also, what really helped it, this was a show where every single match just kind of flowed within it. There wasn't really any interferences, or when you're watching the match, the story of the match is what happens within the context of the wrestling, rather than stopping the match to tell the story and do a rushed finish, whatever, that we've seen so many times on TV recently. This felt like WWE on their best behaviour. It's like, oh, this is, look how good we are. Look how good we are. We've really got to show how amazing our writing is, how much our production is, our in-ring talent, to really showcase what we're capable of. Well, so each week on Raw, I'm complaining about the kind of booking that has kind of just stopped momentum for a match to tell a story, then we move on to the next bit, whatever. When I've said before that you can tell all of that in the ring, you don't need to do any of that stuff. This show was full of everything I'm talking about. It was still not just like a good show, used really well, I thought, to showcase to people who have either tuned out or to make it just feel like a bigger deal so they were paying attention. I thought it was a really good showcase event, and it had that hook at the end of the Kevin Owens thing. Maybe a mistake to not do that on the show, but if they've metrically found that an angle like this works much better if you don't do it on the show and instead you try to grapple people on TikTok, on people watching YouTube shorts or whatever, of seeing little clips on the social medias of like Twitter and Blue Sky. Things like that, where if they've metrically found out that's way more impactful, then sure, go ahead. But I thought a show full of matches where the action was the main point and there wasn't any interferences, there wasn't any stopping to tell a story. Like we saw on Raw where Seth Rollins was talking to Sami Zayn and it was a bit, have you thought about this? It's like full on tell, don't show kind of bullshit. There wasn't any of that on this show. It was all in-ring action showcasing what the talent is capable of. In front of a white hot crowd that's bought into everything, and you give the big story hook at the end with the Kevin Owens attack. For me, a really effective show. And having it happen right before the Royal Rumble, it's like, and you know, like WWE is about to enter their hottest period of the year through to April. So I just think it was a really smart decision all around for everybody. Right before the Netflix deal as well. So many advertisements for Netflix. They're getting it on this big Saturday night stage and just bombarding people with like, we're going to Netflix, we're going to Netflix. There is the caveat that it does mean you have to have people on air saying, oh, I'm so excited for January 6th. Like, that is a minus. That is an issue. But you've drilled it into people's heads that this is happening. In terms of the production of the show as well, it was a ye olde stage with music and Jesse Ventura, metal barriers, referee bow ties and all. Like, they know exactly what the American TV demographic is, and they would have been old enough to watch this originally back then. Legends were at ringside for the, oh, they're still alive, are they? Like Tito Santana, Jimmy Hart, Greg Valentine, Coco Beware. Well done, you're all still alive and kicking, despite all of the cocaine. You've made it, congratulations. A show that honestly flew by. Got me wishing like all WWE specials were just 2 hours long instead of 3 hours with 1 hour of time wasting. Like, nothing crazy or exceptional, but a really easy watch. I much prefer this to the PLEs they put on. Also, big caveat that I did not watch this live. It's a lesson I've taught myself to never watch WWE shows live. Or just American television. You got way too many breaks. It's not right. The places the shows aren't right. So I taught myself just to stay away. So for me, like, every match just flowed right by with no kind of time in between killing stuff. I didn't need to really skip that much. I thought it was just a show that had momentum from the get-go with this next match I'm going to talk about with Drew McIntyre, Sami Zayn. And then it just kept rolling throughout the entire show. Absolutely flew by. So the rest of the matches, I haven't got anywhere near as many notes as that first one. Because it's a good show that sets stuff up. It was a showcase show. So for the individual matches, I don't really have a lot to say. But Drew McIntyre versus Sami Zayn opened the show. McIntyre, having taken out both Usos on Raw, then Smackers, had left Sami to fight on his own with his own fire. To be fair, that's the exact perfect role for the beloved Canadian. The two lads had a fast-paced clobber, a pay-per-view card on a TV schedule, meaning the matches on the show all had a little extra oomph behind them. No room for in-ring time wasting. We've just got too many ads. Too many ads to get through. First, Claymore reversed into the Blue Thunderbomb, getting the crowd up on their feet applauding, before a roll to the outside resulted in your classic baddie snaps in finish. Honestly, just nice to see WWE delivering us an actual match with no pause for shenanigans. This is when it hit me. I was like, oh, has NBC got them on their best behaviour? The next match was going to be their ultimate test. Liv Morgan versus Io Sky. Could they get through a Liv Morgan match with no shenanigans? My expectations were low. I was like, okay, if there's going to be any shenanigans in any of the matches, this is the one. Purely just because the way they've been booking Liv Morgan has just been so full of shenanigans. A little while ago, it'd be nice to see her having an actual vessel on the telly, just because it feels like whenever she gets that opportunity, it's because she's been given 2 minutes and there's going to be shenanigans at some point. No, let her actually show why she's champion. Showcase her to us. That's the point of the TV. Lo and behold, no shenanigans in this match. Genuinely, Liv Morgan got to do a wrestling and got to win and look like a champion who had won a wrestling match. What a crazy idea. Like, it wasn't anything special. A perfectly fine momentum carrier between the two Raw men's matches. The Io's so great, though. That's exactly the right last to showcase on your Wii NBC platform. This did feel like the first defence of Liv's reign where she actually had the ability to show that higher level of fight. The past era before this current Triple H one was like, they always struggled with the are they champion or chicken shit with their heel champions. I immediately think of Seth Rollins after he cashed in Money in the Bank. In his matches, he would just show so much heart and fire. Then in his character segments, he'd be such a chicken shit heel. Was like, oh, you've got to give him respect. They've been such a great champion. It's like, have they? It'd be the same thing. I remember with when Carmella, she started to win over a bit of respect towards the end of her reign, but her character was full chicken shit. And by the time she's defending it to lose it at SummerSlam, these commentators are just like, we've got to give her respect for the championship. And she's like, have we? Her character's been booked to be a chicken shit. He just runs away. And you've been the whole time talking about, oh, she's not a worthy champion. She's a paper champion, blah, blah, blah. But because they hold the title for a while by that point, like, oh, you've got to respect them, though. Like, but why? Why have I got to respect them? It'd often be for out-of-world reasons. That happened so much in the past. It's happened a little bit with Liv Morgan. But her reign's been extended, but she's not been booked to be a champion that's earned the length of her reign. Like, she's escaped through that kind of chicken shit kind of mentality. However, they haven't juxtaposed that with booking her in the ring because all of her matches have had shenanigans. It just means on this show where they're talking about, oh, she's probably the most improved wrestler, she's this really great champion they should all get behind. Well, you've actually booked her for me to get excited for someone to dethrone her in Rhea Ripley, but that doesn't mean it's felt like a respectful reign. Stuff like this, more regularly, would have helped that. This is the exact kind of match that you give if you want me to feel that way. Even though I don't like her character, I can respect her as a wrestler. That's this stuff which this match would have really helped, at least doing one before she drops it. I guess it's better than not doing it at all. But it just proves to me that, did it make it worse that this proves to me that they know they could do it? They know how to do the thing they're telling me instead of showing me, because they showed it me here. They can do it. I am also expecting this WWE on their best behaviour literally to just be this show or this week. Be nice if it happened on Netflix, but with 2 3-hour shows a week, that's a lot of programming, and you gotta just fill it with stuff. That first week might be white hot, but after that, Oblivion for the win. Ripley then came out as the folk were walking up the ramp to give what feels like the pre-Rumble stare down. If you've got a Saturday night NBC slot, you bloody get Rhea Ripley out there with her muscles. You get people to be tuning in who's not really watching a while and just go, oh, who's that? But yeah, a match that wasn't really anything special, but I really did appreciate that this became a Liv Morgan showcase match, and Io Sky was the absolute perfect person to use for that. She's just so good. Which is why I meant this more of as a showcase show rather than anything like truly that special. Like, in front of a hot crowd, you showcase some people and you use the momentum at the end of the show to kind of take yourself forward. And the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, Gunther, Finn Balor, Damian Priest. Finn came out with a bag on his head. The
baghead wanker.
Hey, we don't kink shame here on Social Suplex. Priest's entrance got a much needed guitar riff mixed into it. Now there's an identifiable melody to carry you through. Like, how very non-Death Rebel of you. Also loved Gunter's entrance where, because they had like a more narrow entrance way with the metal barricades, people from the crowd were much more able to like just pat the wrestlers as they were walking through. But I loved Gunter's version where he just looked actively pissed when the fans tried to touch him down the narrow entrance way. Also that phrasing, ooh, matron. The three lads, the only match of the night to get a quick start working as an ad break lead-in. Nothing crazy, but a fun enough three-man with some great little moments, like Priest going old school and getting a lovely pop from the crowd because of it. Both Gunter and Finn used as baddie lads that opportunistically snapped in. Clever way to just make Damien feel like the big deal of the match, for him to feel like the main character, whilst also setting up how he was going to lose. A lovely sequence with the three lads in the corner, Razor's Edge to Gunter, then coup de grace from Bella, flowing into a Priest and Bella quick back and forth, working as the perfect distraction to Gunter to recover and snap in. A little scared when Gunter struggled to pick up Priest with a powerbomb onto the steps, but like it all went okay. It was all ended up okie dokie. Well, you know, apart from Damien, who had to take said bump onto the steel steps. He probably didn't feel great, but it all worked out in the end. Gunter back into the ring to snap Bella with a powerbomb for the win. A logically put together showcase for Gunter as the champion, for your little rivalry between Finn and Damien Priest, which feels like it can just keep on going forever. I'll give fuel this all the way to WrestleMania. It feels like a long time. But yet another perfectly fine, good match. But the main point was it showcased all the people on this showcase event. And finally, talking of showcasing, we got the Women's United States Championship, Chelsea Green versus Mia Yim. The two women who have really won the crowd over this summer in their lower mid-card feud, rewarded for their efforts and proving the worth of taking advantage of your TV time. Well, at least when there's room to progress. The match was fine, a very standard flow, but somewhat lifted by the occasion. Eat defeat to Niven at ringside. Chelsea set to take advantage exactly how we saw earlier, but instead flowed into an awkward eat defeat as Green tried to ready to launch herself across the ring of the impact so she could grab onto the ropes. The crowd not responding well to Yim possibly being the winner during that near fall, properly getting behind the Canadian, which leads to the lovely finish. Up in the corner, flipped over Yim right into the Unpretty Her, and New York popped so loudly. If there's one thing that a bit rough eat defeat did, it pushed people even more towards Chelsea Green, which was perfect because that's exactly what they wanted. They got that big reaction for the finish. Also, WWE fans at the moment just like seeing the things. So seeing someone crowned as this new champion, they're always going to pop big for it. But I feel like the way the match flowed, it fueled the pop being louder. Excited to see what they do with Chelsea Green as the winner. I feel like this is what I wanted the championship to be. I didn't want an established name to win it to try and elevate the belt before handing it over to someone else. I was like, no, use the winner of this to establish what kind of championship this is, to kind of use it and show that it can be used for elevation. Tell your audience ahead of time, ahead of the Netflix deal, ahead of having 6 hours of television a week, like where this is going to slot around the card and what it's going to be used for. In a way, just like that workhorseman elevation belt that it has been used for the men, like, give the women a similar kind of feel. But that was Saturday Night's main event. A perfectly fine, 3-star, good show, but its main purpose was to showcase and to get that ball rolling towards the new year, towards Netflix, towards the road to the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania. I feel like he did all of those really well, with the key point being the angle that happened off the show. I'm not somebody who believes now that you have to have everything on the show. Like, I'd like it to. It would be nice. It feels neater. But in this current age, where WWE get a lot of fuel by doing angles off of their TV as well, I feel like that kind of works. 3 stars. Good. Yeah. So if you lean more towards AEW's kind of style, then this show would do nothing for you at all. It is just a showcase show. There's not really much more for me to add to it. It was absolutely fine. Anyway, let's jump on over to Boston, Massachusetts for Monday Night Raw for a main event tag team match. We are in a completely new era, as well as the confirmation and the booking of CM Punk versus Seth Rollins.
See ya. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ryan Seacrest here. When you have a busy schedule, it's important to maximize your downtime. One of the best ways to do that is by going to ChumbaCasino.com. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino games like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire that you can play for free for a chance to redeem some serious prizes. So hop on to ChumbaCasino.com now and live the Chumba life. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply.
CM Punk. Come on, Boston!
Confirmed for Netflix. January's rapidly approaching and a whole new set of tracks for our US wrestling to steam down or stream down. But I was doing the train bit, so it wouldn't have fit. Stream down's a much better pun though, because it's Netflix and all that. The latest stacking of the card for that first show on streaming kicked off the show with Punkerton. The man was very aware that it's only a matter of time before Seth's music was going to hit. Punk's still magic on the mic, but he just comes across so naturally as a dick, so it's really easy to cheer Seth over him if you're that way inclined. But for this style of feud, I feel like it works so perfectly. There's a little character notes that CM Punk gives off when he talks hardly about himself. He doesn't come across as a good guy with confidence. He comes across as an arsehole. It's like, oh, I wouldn't like to sit next to you at a concert or something. You'd just be a bit of a dick. However, it works so perfectly when he kind of got both of them in a way as babyfaces. They're just completely opposite sides of the same coin. And with Seth Rollins somewhat in a little bit of a tweener role just because he's a goody face who's being pushed towards a heel, or at least he's having that mirror reflection of Drew, like, reflected back at him. Also, a little note that he was wearing like a black outfit, which somewhat resembled what Drew would wear when he was having his big turn with Punk. There's lots of little notes with Seth at the moment, which I think are working really well. I also loved how he was brought out in the crowd with the Punk chant, and he also starts chanting with him. So everyone in the crowd starts looking around going, oh, where is he? Because he's not going to be out on the ramp. Where's he going to come out from? He comes out in the crowd, and oh my God, just the cutest baby in the world was held up behind him. Like, I may have missed everything Seth Rollins said and had to wind back and watch it again. This was just the cutest little red beanie for his little head. I missed everything. I'm assuming they've uploaded the segment to YouTube. Watch it, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. You'll see Seth Rollins, oh, there he is, and you start to pay attention. Then over his right shoulder is the cutest baby in the world. Boiling over into clobbering on the crowd side of the barrier, away from the baby. He was up in the stairs, he walked down. Baby was safe. The main character of this story was absolutely fine. Not even Petey Williams or Jamie Noble could separate them. Not even Kenny Dykstra could separate them. In the end, Punk was just picking up whatever he could from the timekeeper's area to just throw at Seth. Really enjoyed. The crowd boiled up again so loudly after the two had been separated when Seth just hopped over the barrier to have the two just jump into lampings for a final time within the crowd. Great segment, especially with the way that it kicked off the show as well. Got the crowd white hot for whatever came next, and then feed later on and be like, well, you heard how loud the crowd was, you saw how angry these two were against each other, how much things boiled over. Well, you get to see them now wrestle on January 6th. It's like, yep, sold. Done an amazing job with this. And to give you the more character side reason, after breaks, angry Seth got hands on hips Adam Pearce, walking into Drew McIntyre, the mirror now reflecting onto Rollins, with him then telling Drew, if you don't mind, I've got to go do something you couldn't do, and that's end CM Punk. Seth showing so many similar characteristics to Drew, and then they're just directly, not really subtly at all, to being like, well, we've made direct comparisons. Now you get to see just how similarly they're going down somewhat tracks, and Seth is still very reluctant to go down that way. The difference between him and Drew is he's actually going to settle this and be able to move on, whilst Drew couldn't do that, and he ended up fixating for such a long period. I think the most interesting route is to have Seth lose, and then you can have that mirror reflected even stronger. But I do like where they both are at the moment, where they're both kind of tweenery. They're both acting like dickheads. It's really easy to cheer for the other person or support which one you want in this feud, because both have got enough plus and minuses where they feel like actual characters. Crazy, what a crazy world. So I partly feel like it'd be somewhat of a shame if Seth just turns full on heel, because I really like where they both are at the moment. But I feel like for this story in particular, with the way they are lifting up that mirror to Seth through Drew McIntyre, I think it's a lot more interesting to have Seth lose. To see how does he spiral in comparison to Drew McIntyre. How does it actually go? The only real thing I want to talk about now is the main event, which was the World Tag Team Championship, Judgment Day versus War Raiders. A very, I don't know, continuing things going kind of Monday Night Raw. I wouldn't really call them big segments or anything. There was just like momentum carriers. Things keep on rolling. The Raiders got a full babyface promo. Ivar recovered from a full potential career-ending injury. And Eric's, he's got a newborn baby. He's the relatable dad guy. And as soon as they started doing this story, I could really think about how I would start to react to reality TV when they would do this kind of story. Like, I'm doing it for my nan, type of thing. It was like, I would immediately then start going, boo, beat them, my Irish brothers, beat these men. These were relatable men with their families. Boo. It's something that's just been ingrained into me after watching those reality competitions as a child. It's not gone away. It's still there. We had seen Raquel Rodriguez losing her match right before this, so the possibility for a bad Judgment Day night had already been set. They were given 10 minutes plus the ad break as well. This wasn't like the last couple of weeks where the main event had to roll through at a mighty pace. This was an actual match just playing out. Genuinely a rare sight for Monday Night Raw. A very rare week for WWE production. Ivar was especially given plenty of room to shine and fly. In the latter half, JD was the lad getting caught up into Big Lad offense. It taking Finn being wily to snap back momentum. Getting to see them genuinely operate as a team with no interference coming. Ivar breaking up the moonsault coup de grace combo got one mighty pop. Hilarious that Finn stuck fetching a chair as commentary called, "Why isn't that chair moving?" Like, mate, you're right there. You can see off camera. You can't use sitcom rules here. As soon as somebody doesn't exist within the frame, they no longer exist within the context of what's happening. Like, no. No, you are in an environment where everybody in the crowd can see this man. You can see him right there. Priest the interfering axe in a big coat, stopping Finn and costing the Irish. How dare he? War Raiders won and they got their big pyro to end the show and to end my year of WWE. You know what? I ended it on a perfectly fine note. I'm not leaving this year of WWE on a negative. I'm leaving it on a, yeah, it was good. That's good. I feel like it's been a really solid year for WWE just in terms of resetting after the big Roman Empire era and really building into this new era. I do feel like they've done a really good job of just setting the stage for what's to come. There's quite a few matches you look into the WrestleMania card of possibilities that could play out, like with or without The Rock, with or without doing Cody versus Roman 3. I'm not writing that out. There's just so much they could do at the moment. There's many possibilities of exciting angles they can go for, which for me shows that they've done well to build up to this point. The laying of the tracks for the new Choo Choo Train. Other notes. Judgment Day tensions continued. Now, the ladies' words to Finn were in full sarcasm. Liv, Dom and Raquel came out ahead of the latter lasses' IC tournament triple threat. Liv putting her cut out in front of her, laying out her intentions for 2025. Before Ripley came out and ripped them all away, the Aussie is number one contender again. No match announced for this one. She just said she's number one contender, so I'm assuming Royal Rumble. Speaking of the intercontinental triple threat, Rodriguez faced Zoe Stark and Caden Carter, painting the other lasses as having a chance, knowing we were assuming Raquel was just going to win at some point, because she's really the only character with established momentum of any sort at the moment. Nope, Stark 360'd Carter to snatch the win. It was used more in a way to set up a potential bad night for Judgment Day. Ludwig Kaiser got to have a wrestles for Bron Breakker's Intercontinental Championship, a first contest that was dancing around ad breaks and a backstage segment, so it had attention taken away from it all over the place, but the lads delivered nonetheless. Bron hurting his arm on his now patented apron to announce table jump, giving us the sight of him being able to improvise when he can't charge like the normal way he does with his boo-boo. What was actually shown was even if his arm's injured, he will just launch at his opponent with no regard and still be able to cover the pin. He won't then just lie there going, "Ah, my arm!" He would actually go for the pin. So he showed a different style of being able to fight through it. Where often you see somebody like Seth Rollins go, "Ah, my knee!" Hit a load of knee offense, but the actual finish will be improvised in some way. Whilst Bron Breakker was like, "I don't care how much it hurts me, I'm still going to hurt you enough with my injured arm. It's still going to knock you down." New Day continued to get treated with disrespect, this time Ray Ray not letting them into the men's locker room. And Karrion Kross was all grumpy with the Wyatts, telling Miz he'll be facing Loomis on Raw next week, and holy shit, I can't think of a worse nightmare of a match for me. If you're going to book that, you might as well do it on the episode that I'm not going to be watching, because it's Christmas week, where he's kind of, he needs to put something on the TV, but it can't be like that exceptional, because no load of people aren't going to be watching. So it's like, matches we need to get out of the way, or things like that. You know what? Miz versus Loomis, get that out of the way when I'm not going to watch. Very smart. You don't save that for Netflix, you barrel through that. If you have to, you barrel through that. I'm going to be busy with Christmas, so I'm not going to be able to watch it. And you know what? This match made that feel a lot better. That wasn't the case. But that was the final Raw of the year. It was a good reset year for WWE. They've had outstanding moments, like WrestleMania 40. I feel like that whole road to WrestleMania was like a bright, shining moment. And the rest of the year has just been a solid kind of reset, and I don't really think any pay-per-view has blown my mind. They've all been fine. The atmospheres have just gotten louder and louder, and they've done a really good job of promoting being loud at these events with the decibel meter, using what happened at Backlash in France as a really good example for what they would want their crowds to be. Germany kind of reinforced that. UK, Clash of Champions also reinforced that. So I feel like they've got a really good thing going, especially with putting on the B-shows in front of those international audiences, where they're so rabid for it that they're going to get these amazing reactions each time. With the tracks that they've laid down for the Netflix era, I feel like they're going to hit it running. I've got really high expectations for the momentum they're going to carry. In terms of my own enjoyment of the shows, I know I much prefer 2 hours to 3 hours. Like, I am not a fan of the 3 hour product, especially if the Netflix version does get hit with like loads of different advertisements within it, and it would be inescapable if I were to watch it on Netflix. Like, ah, that would be a bit of a shame. But I feel like their momentum is going to grow. And another thing with the AEW is going to go into their streaming service before them as well on HBO Max. It's not made anywhere near as big of a deal about it. They're announcing it on the show in a very like calm manner. I was like, oh, by the way, we're doing this big show on January 1st. We're going to be on streaming. I was like, oh, cool, okay. You're just going to do it without a big major thing. All right. Well, both WWE and Netflix have put so much stock into this that they really are. I think they've done everything right to hit the ground running. And I'm fully expecting the momentum just to like properly carry them through at least this WrestleMania season. I think that's my main thing from it. I feel like everything is in place for it to be a special WrestleMania season, or at least one full of momentum. I just have the detractor that I kind of know the way that WWE puts together the three-hour shows, both SmackDown and Raw will be 3 hours. The weekly TV is going to be more difficult to get through. My energy wanes. No matter, even if they absolutely nail the flow, it's just too much for me for a TV show. There's too many like different segments and things. I just get tired watching it. But this was a solid end to the year. I've enjoyed this brief 2 hour period of 4 hours of wrestling. About to jump to six, Jesus Christ. Anyway, but that's the end of the year. I think I might not be back until like the debut of Netflix. But that's a mental week. There's so much going on. From January 1st all the way to the debut on Netflix, there is so much in the world of wrestling. It's crazy. Also, merry holidays to all of you as well. Anyway, with that, I give a big thank you to Social Suplex for allowing me to air on their show for the entire year of 2024, and to every single person, every other like host of a show here on Social Suplex, for our merch over at Chopped-Tees for the best Christmas presents you could ever get a person. It's just almost felt like since I've been here on Social Suplex that something cool happened each month. It's been nice to be a part of the network whilst just in this era. I want to say 2024 has been a great year. As far as I know, like every single show has like just jumped up in this. It's like, obviously that makes sense for someone like me who didn't start their show till late last year. So that makes a lot of sense. But still, being on this network at the moment, everything feels like so positive. And I feel like the amount we get do on the Discord as well like really does help with that. So even if I'm not responding a lot on the Discord, I am lurking. Like, if you tell me, I will see it. Type of thing. Anyway, so with that, I bid you adieu for the year. I will see you for the big Netflix debut for that crazy week. So thank you for listening, liking, engaging in any form, any manner. Always appreciated, never taken for granted for the course of the entire year. And the same goes for everybody here on Social Suplex. So with that, I bid you adieu. Adios.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. And now I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.